From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
A vote for Democrats in November is a vote to erase our borders and leave innocent Americans at the mercy of hardened criminals. That's what will happen. We need strong law and order. A vote for Republicans is a vote to support the brave heroes of ICE, Border Patrol, law enforcement, and all of the other groups that work with us.
Well, that was President Trump last night during a rally in Indiana, calling out the press, calling out the left. And is there a striking double standard? We're going to take you down memory lane tonight. The verbal attacks for the left on ICE agents, foot dragging about protecting our nation's southern border is obvious to the average American. Happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. It's Labor Day weekend. Are you excited for a long weekend? I know I am. I'm ready to spend some time with family and friends. Well, in just a moment, we'll talk with Mark Krikorian. He's the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. He'll be here in just a moment. Years of experience in the immigration space, and he always has good insights on this topic. Well, good news out of California. We welcome the news that the California State Legislature will not take final action on AB 2943, a bill which we've talked about here many times, which would have declared all forms of sexual orientation change efforts, or sometimes referred to as conversion therapy, to be a form of consumer fraud if performed for a fee. Jonathan Keller, president of the California Family Council, will be here with the details. And assisted suicide is currently legal in 7 states and Washington, D.C. Had assisted suicide been legal in New York, where J.J. Hansen lived, J.J. might have been tempted to take the lethal pills. He lived 3.5 years, however, longer than doctors said he would. Well, J.J.'s widow, Kristen Hansen, she's going to be here later in the program to share that incredible story. You're not going to want to miss that. And, of course, we're going to take your calls. And don't forget about the Values Voters Summit, September 21st through the 23rd. Folks, we have broken a record on this, I believe. The most ever have signed up for this event. It is the premier event for conservatives in the country. You won't want to miss it. And all of this content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins. And hey, go follow me as well at R. Jones Reports. Well, this week, a Democratic lawmaker issued a startling warning to government officials involved in, quote, legal deportations that they, quote, will not be safe from future punishment when Donald Trump is no longer president. Arizona Democrat Representative Ruben Gallego, he tweeted earlier Thursday, you ready for this? When the worm turns, you will not be safe because you were just following orders. You do not have to take part in illegal acts ordered by this president's administration. And in New Mexico, remember the story? We covered it. 3 extremist Muslims in the New Mexico compound suspects have been released after a judge drops all the charges. This story is unbelievable. They reportedly train children to be school shooters. Well, joining us now is Mark Krikorian. He's the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's not a shortage of things to talk about, Mark. I mean, that's a mouthful, what I just lined up for you. First, let's just talk about these attacks on ICE. It's amazing. President Trump, he goes to these rallies, packs out these arenas, and just kind of calls it how he sees it. What say you?
Well, I mean, obviously the agents of ICE are just law enforcement agents. They're just cops enforcing the law. Somebody wants the law to be changed. Some Democrat congressmen think the law should be different. That's a plausible position. You know, they're lawmakers. Put together some change to the law and try to persuade your fellow lawmakers. But unfortunately, for too many on the left, the normal constitutional processes are, you know, they're too slow. They don't yield the results they want. And so, you know, they go to this. What they do is they resort to attacking the law enforcement agents. Now, you know, that having been said, we need a little context. or a little sort of balance, and that is, you know, Republicans sometimes do a much milder version of this. You know, we don't like the IRS, for instance, or the IRS is heavy-handed, and people, you know, they do what I call kick the bureaucrats. But what we're seeing in the, you know, Democrat side is much more insidious and dangerous thing, and it's at the center of their political activism to delegitimize cops. I mean, you had Governor Cuomo at that debate. There's a primary debate in New York, and he's being challenged by this Hollywood nitwit who's even more left-wing than he is. And so to show his bona fides about how leftist and progressive he was, he called the ICE agents thugs. You know, this is dangerous talk. And, I mean, I'm very uncomfortable with where this is going. If these guys don't like the law, change the law. They can't succeed in doing that, so they're trying to dirty up and taint law enforcement officers.
Well, and you know, the president of the National ICE Council represents thousands of these ICE employees. He's saying, look, you're coming dangerously close to inciting violence.
Oh, absolutely.
Against these folks and their families.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you know, if this continues, you're going to see people attacking ICE agents or their families. I mean, you know, some of these Antifa people or Occupy Wall Street people or whatever, Black Lives Matter, you're going to see some of these guys, you know, launching violent attacks against cops. They were kind of afraid of that in Portland, Oregon, because they were surrounding the ICE office there and actually preventing people from leaving. I mean, it was, you know, frankly, it was an act of rebellion. I mean, literally speaking, they ended up resolving it. But, you know, I don't, it really, the left doesn't seem to care about the stability of our political system, let alone the, you know, the rules in our Constitution.
Mark, let's jump back in time just a bit. I've got a clip here. It's just, it's a tad long. It's not a couple of minutes, but I want our listeners to listen, and you're going to recall these. Former President Bill Clinton and former President Barack Obama. Let's just jump back. Let's listen.
The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws.
Even as we are a nation of immigrants, we're also a nation of laws. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws, and I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous. When I took office, I committed to fixing this broken immigration system, and I began by doing what I could to secure our borders. But today, our immigration system is broken, and everybody knows it. There are actions I have the legal authority to take as president. Tonight, I'm announcing those actions. We'll build on our progress at the border with additional resources for our law enforcement personnel so that they can stem the flow of illegal crossings and speed the return of those who do cross over. If you're a criminal, you'll be deported. If you plan to enter the U.S. illegally, your chances of getting caught and sent back just went up. We expect people who live in this country to play by the rules. We expect that those who cut the line will not be unfairly rewarded. The actions I'm taking are not only lawful, they're the kinds of actions taken by every single Republican president and every single Democratic president for the past half century. And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, question my authority, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
I put that in there a few extra times. Question my authority. Mark, I mean, I didn't get the best grades in class, but these sound eerily similar to President Obama's words, but yet it's being received in a drastically different way. Go.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, this is, you know, kind of like on the gay marriage issue. Remember, the president until 2012, in 2012, said, you know, his faith told him that marriage was between a man and a woman, and then he changed his mind. Well, everybody knew he was lying before, and, you know, my sense is everybody knew he was lying when he said all of that, too. Bill Clinton's different story. His administration actually did start a serious investment in infrastructure to be able to enforce the law better, and it continued under Bush. I have issues with both of those guys, but there really was something going on there. But it's now become orthodoxy on the left, really almost as solid as the requirement that you support abortion or gay marriage, that you basically support unlimited immigration to the United States. I mean, Hillary Clinton during the campaign, during one of the debates, was pressed on this and repeated it. And basically what she said is that anyone who reaches the United States, either sneaks across the border or comes in legally on a visa and then just never leaves, anyone who does that, who doesn't get convicted of a violent felony, gets to stay. Yeah. And that's just, I mean, that's unbelievable. And that's what I think the president and the Republicans should be forcing people to see, the extremism of the other side, maybe more than talk about, you know, criminality and stuff among illegal immigrants. Make the Democrats defend their almost insanely extreme position on immigration.
Now, Mark, in a different vein, over in New Mexico, and you just got a couple of minutes left, what's your, just your 30,000-foot view of this judge dismissing these jihadis of the child neglect charges?
Well, there wasn't the immigration angle there was pretty limited. There was only one of the wives was a Haitian illegal alien. So, I mean, I'm not up on that, but, you know, this really is of a piece with this idea that we shouldn't, you know, whatever you do, don't talk about the jihad. You know, it's it smells funny. I don't know about the details, but the whole thing looks peculiar, especially they demolished this thing before, you know, how could they have gathered all the evidence they needed? They bulldozed the place, and then they didn't present evidence, so these guys, you know, charges had to be dropped against several of these people. So, I mean, it's suspicious, but I don't know enough about it to go beyond that.
Right. Well, you know, as far as the immigration goes, you know, do you see the House going any further in legislation and giving the win that President Trump needs to get this done?
I don't see that happening this year. No, I don't see any immigration legislation happening this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, undoubtedly be a big issue here in the midterms as we continue to see these elections play out. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. You have a blessed Labor Day, and we appreciate your service.
You too. Thank you.
All right. That was Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C. Well, coming up next, the author of a bill, California bill, to declare gay conversion therapy a quote-unquote fraudulent business practice, has abandoned his effort for this year after a fierce outcry from the state's Christian community. Jonathan Keller, president of the California Family Council, he'll be here with the latest when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Make sure you go to tonyperkins.com for all the great information there. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Well, it's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's Labor Day weekend. It's good to be with you. Well, this morning, good news out of California. California's AB 2943 is a bill that would have hindered the ability of churches and Christian organizations to provide compassionate counseling and resources related to sexual orientation and gender identity. We've covered this story a number of times here on Washington Watch. Well, it was pulled by the author, Assemblyman Evan Law. Well, with us now is Jonathan Keller, president of the California Family Council. He has been following this. His organization has been on this for quite some time. Jonathan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me. Always great to be with you, Russ.
Well, where are we at here? Is this a temporary fix? Is it a victory for now? Where are we at?
Well, you know, nothing is permanent, they say, except for death and taxes. So it's certainly possible this bill could come back sometime next year. But for the 2017-2018 legislative cycle, that ends tonight at midnight. So this bill is done. Any new bill would have to be reintroduced, rewritten from scratch, and would have to pass from the bottom level up all the way through both houses of the legislature. So this is a huge victory, really, frankly, massively unexpected. Our team was preparing alongside our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom for a legal challenge, and only in our wildest dreams did we think that Assemblyman Lowe would actually pull his own bill.
So the bill is dead for now, and it was a bill, just to remind our listeners, that would have barred minors and adults alike from obtaining sexual orientation change efforts, regardless of their wishes, from organizations that are all about trying to help people find their way through a biblical perspective. So, Jonathan, what do you think got to Assemblyman Lowe? What changed the tide here?
Well, you know, it's really hard to say, but if we take him at his word, he actually had a lot to say about this. He published a lengthy, a very detailed, heartfelt announcement, a statement on his website this morning at about 9 a.m., and he discussed some of his own pain as a LGBT Californian and some of the difficulties he's experienced growing up, and he talked about why he thought this bill was necessary. But then he said he began to reach out to members of the California Christian community. he began to reach out to counselors and pastors and former homosexuals, men and women who had once lived the LGBT lifestyle and yet were saved. Their lives were transformed by the power and love of Jesus Christ. And he realized that there were bigger issues at play here, and he did not want to silence the voice of the church. Now, he didn't put that quite in so many words. He is still a Democrat legislator from the San Francisco area. So even in his statement, you could tell that he's trying to be diplomatic and trying to save face. But frankly, Russ, I really do wonder if God may be doing a work in Assemblyman Lowe's heart. I don't know what his personal spiritual life is like. I haven't been able to have that specific conversation with him. But this is just a reminder of why we always need to pray for our elected leaders, even those that we think may be so far gone that it's hopeless. I mean, you never know how God is going to work on someone's heart and what it's going to take to really open the door to the light of the gospel.
Amen, Jonathan. I mean, you know, when you put it in those terms, isn't that really the bigger testimony here? I mean, yes, we're pleased that the bill was pulled. But you're right. What might the Holy Spirit be doing in this assemblyman? And the testimony of the church and people like yourselves and how you conducted yourselves in this process to be on the other side of this issue, I think is a testimony to the larger church of, hey, we need to conduct ourselves well, with civility in presenting our opposition to these ideas.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, this is something that if you looked on paper, if you were handicapping this bill and wondering what the chances are of it going through, really, so many people on both sides of the aisle treated this as just a formality. I mean, look, it's an LGBT bill in the state of California introduced by the chair of the LGBT caucus in California, and it's going to go potentially to the desk of Jerry Brown, one of the most pro-LGBT governors in American history. Really, if you were looking at it from that perspective, this bill should have sailed through without any road bumps at all. Just 2 weeks ago, the bill did pass out of the Senate by a vote, overwhelming vote, of 25 to 11. I mean, there was really nothing that we could expect to do in our human power to stop this bill. And Evan Lowe even admitted as much in his statement. He said, look, I had strong support. I know that if I brought this bill up for a vote, it would pass. I know if I sent it on to Governor Brown, he's indicated nothing that leaves me to believe he would not sign it. And yet, in his statement, Evan Lowe said, I did not want to stop the dialogue with the faith community just because we were up against a bill deadline. So even though I have overwhelming support, I will not be sending this bill on to Governor Brown. And, I mean, you could have probably felt a 4.3 magnitude earthquake again from the sound of all the Christians' jaws hitting the floor. I mean, yeah. It was really remarkable to see God really move in a miraculous way that none of us would have expected even 24 hours ago.
And even a more sizable earthquake on the other side. Don't you know the spiritual warfare in that man's soul and what's coming from the LGBT community?
Oh, absolutely. And this is, again, a reminder. I just gave another radio interview to a station out here in California. I just would strongly encourage you, all of you out there, so often we can be angry, we can get upset and, you know, shake our fists at our friends, our fellow citizens in the LGBT community. But in this case, I would strongly implore all my brothers and sisters in Christ, pray for Evan Lowe. I mean, he is facing some intense pressure right now from the LGBT community. And please pray for him. Pray that God to get a hold of him and open his eyes and his heart.
Jonathan Keller, an amazing story, really. Thank you for bringing us that on this Friday. Good news story. Thank you. God bless you for all your work. You have a blessed weekend, okay, brother?
Thanks, Russ. God bless you and the whole FRC team.
All right. Thank you. Jonathan Keller. California. Family Council there. It's an amazing story, really. Something you can talk about this weekend. Well, coming up next, in another amazing story about Kristen Hansen's husband who died of cancer. But this is a story about assisted suicide and the choices that could have been available and what they learned through that whole process. You're not going to want to miss this. We're going to talk with Kristen Hansen here in just a moment. Patients Rights Action Fund's community relations advocate next.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Into Washington Watch. Welcome back. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, an amazing story here. At the same time that she was caring for her newborn son, Kristen Hansen was caring for her husband, James Joseph, also fondly known as JJ. Well, he was battling terminal brain cancer and shortly died after Christmas of last year. But here's the kicker. At about the same time, some were celebrating Brittany Maynard's decision to move to Oregon, where assisted suicide is legal, to end her life. And Maynard was suffering from the same disease as JJ's. Now, this whole story is a compelling story in USA Today. And Kristen Hansen writes about her personal journey of her husband's battle and her family's battle here through this process. And with us now is Kristen Hansen. She's the community relations advocate at the Patients' Rights Action Fund. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, help our listeners understand how set the stage for what you all went through and the process.
So back in May of 2014, my husband, JJ, was 33 years old. We just had had our son, James, and he had just turned a year old in January. And JJ was a former Marine. He had served in Iraq, and he was young and he was healthy. We had no idea there was anything wrong with him. And one day, it was a Tuesday afternoon, I received a phone call. He had gone to work, and an EMT called me because while he was at work, he had a grand mal seizure, and he was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And it was nothing but shocking. We had no idea what was going on. I rushed to the hospital, and after a few days and a brain biopsy, we found out that he had terminal brain cancer, glioblastoma multiforme, one of the deadliest, if not the deadliest, forms of cancer.
And what was the diagnosis from there? Was there treatment options or what?
So it was so scary. I hadn't had any real experience with cancer, and so that was one of the first questions I asked the doctors. And they said that it was inoperable, so the best we could hope for would be maybe 4 months. If he did treatment and we were lucky, maybe a year. but likely only 4 months left to live. And it was a complete shock.
But you wound up getting 3.5 more years rather than 4 months, right?
We did. And, you know, in that moment when the doctor said only 4 months left to live, I remember time just stood still. And I thought, why only 4 months? I would give anything for a year. I mean, time is so precious, even a day extra. And so we were very fortunate. We didn't accept that prognosis. We sought out second and third opinions, and we were able to find a neurosurgeon who removed the tumors. And JJ did standard and experimental treatment, and he actually ended up going into remission and had almost 2 good years where he was healthy, and you would never know that there was anything wrong with him. And he ended up living 3.5 years.
And I would imagine you packed.
Yeah. And it really, really was. During those 3 extra years that he had, our son James and JJ, they created so many beautiful memories that we documented in photos and in videos. And JJ really was able to spend time with James, so he knew who his daddy was. And mm-hmm. we were so surprised and excited to find out that we were pregnant with our second son. And now I have Lucas, who just turned 1 year old back in July.
So your angel. Go ahead.
He is my hope. He is my joy. I need hope and joy, I just look at him, and he's such a gift.
Now, in your article, you are thankful that the assisted suicide wasn't an option there.
You know, JJ decided to he needed to share his story because about 5 months after he was diagnosed was when we first saw Brittany Maynard on TV, and we felt our hearts went out to her. I mean, we understood the fear she was experiencing and the struggle better than anyone could. But we were very, very saddened to see the message of hopelessness that her story was spreading. And JJ said that patients needed to hear that there was still hope, even when you're diagnosed with the very worst cancer that there is. We knew of people who were living 15, 20, 30 years with GBM. Thanks to the internet, we had found people. So, he saw how dangerous that was, how vulnerable terminal patients are, that they need hope, and that assisted suicide spreads a message of hopelessness and really tears that away from patients when they need support and love and care. And he knew that even if you are strong emotionally and you have the very best care and you have a family that loves you and supports you, it's normal for terminal patients to go through bouts of depression, and that happened to him. In September of 2014, he went through a period of depression that we didn't know about until later, and he said if he had had those pills on his nightstand, he might have taken them because he was depressed.
Wow. Well, Kristen, thank you so much. We're out of time. Thank you for sharing that story. I know it's been a story of hope for a lot of our listeners.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Well, it's Friday. Welcome back to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. We know it's Labor Day weekend, and I am a huge sports fan. A lot of folks will be watching sports over the weekend. You know, I'll be going to a watch party tomorrow to watch Ole Miss play Texas Tech, first game of the year. You know, lots of excitement in the air. And what's been frustrating for me, and I know a lot of sports fans, is the politicization of our sports and the sports reporters. And did you hear last week that Tiger Woods, he so gracefully avoided being baited by a reporter's questions last Sunday, actually, following his final round at the Northern Trust Golf Tournament. And, well, just listen to this. A reporter asked him about Donald Trump, President Trump. Let's listen.
Well, I've known Donald for a number of years. You know, we've played the golf together, and, you know, we've had dinner together. And so, yeah, that's I've known him, you know, pre-presidency and obviously during his presidency.
I want to say something about what Tiger Woods said.
Okay, now. Go ahead.
It really bothers me. I am angry at what Tiger Woods said because it is a thoughtless statement dressed up as a thoughtful statement. And it either holds in contempt the intelligence of the people who hear it, or else it's just a stupid thing to say.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to people who might find it interesting and, I guess, a friendly relationship with
him? Well, he's the president of the United States, and you have to respect the office. And no matter who's in the office, you may like, dislike the personality or the politics, but we all must respect the office.
I thought that was a brilliant answer. But actually, ESPN and others, who really cares what Tiger thinks or any other athlete about President Trump or what's going on? Most people just want to play, watch their favorite teams and their golfers play the sport. Why are you trying to politicize the very thing that can often bring people together? Where the known enemy is on the field, not with one another. You dress up, you wear your bling, your sports bling, you root for your teams. I remember back when I was doing youth ministry and I was a youth pastor, we would often have Super Bowl parties and whatnot and have special speakers. And we would have, instead of watching what was the official halftime, we would have testimonies and we would play videos and we would give the kids an opportunity to hear about the gospel and to hear about Jesus. And we used it as an outreach opportunity. I'm sick and tired of hearing these sports casters try to demonize athletes. And it's all in line with, you recently heard about In-N-Out Burger. Apparently they gave a donation to the Republican Party. Well, now folks are calling for a boycott. And of course, we know all about the attacks on Chick-fil-A. Well, let's listen to the rest of this clip. The ESPN seemed recently to be moving away from politics, but here's ESPN's Max Kellerman. Listen.
To say that the office, you must have respect for the office. Tiger, be clear. Are you saying that the office therefore confers respect onto its occupant, its present temporary occupant? No. Having respect for the office means we are all set to a standard. We're held to a standard of behavior. The president, if anything, is held to a higher standard of behavior. It is not such that we have such great respect for the office that no matter what the behavior of its occupant, we must therefore respect its occupant because of the office. No, Tiger Woods is being slick. Here he's being slick. We must respect the office, therefore that confers respect to the occupant. Tiger, is that what you're saying? If that's what you're saying, that is a stupid comment.
Oy vey. Yes. Yes, Max, that is what Tiger was saying. What say you? Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. It's Labor Day weekend. Give us a call. What are you going to do this weekend? What does work mean to you? You know, I've shared a number of times some of my first jobs set the standard for me. I've been working since I was 16 years old. Sometimes it's really difficult to see some of this generation maybe and others that don't value work, but I see the work that God has given me as an opportunity to serve. You know, if God wanted to flip hamburgers, I would gladly flip hamburgers. I remember that first job, the Carriage Club in Kansas City, Missouri, and the opportunity I got to work with others and learn what it meant to earn my own paycheck. That first paycheck, I think it was like $43. I put it in the bank. I went and opened up a bank account in Kansas City. Man, that was one of the proudest days of my life. We've also talked about the challenges of cancer. Boy, that story really brought back some memories. I lost my mom and my uncle in the past 2 years from cancer. And, of course, that horrific story I've shared here about my mom dying and the brokenness in that relationship and not knowing that she was gone and being blocked out and not having that opportunity. I'm so grateful for Kristen that her and JJ had that opportunity to heal, and they had that bonus time, 3.5 years to glorify God and for their son to get to know their dad. A lot to talk about, so much to be grateful for. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the Family Research Council and Washington Watch and all of our listeners. We hear from you day in and day out when you call our hotline. Let's go to Daniel in Louisiana. Hi, Daniel. Welcome. Happy Friday. Happy Labor Day weekend.
Happy Labor Day weekend to you, Mr. Prescott. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Tiger Woods' comment. He said was that we just need to respect the office, regardless of who's in there. You know, it could be President Bush, President Obama, you know, President Trump. I mean, we just need to respect the office of the president, regardless if we respect what the person is doing or them. You know, for example, if they're doing a good job, you think you respect the office and the person. But if you disagree with what they're doing, you still respect the office, even though you don't necessarily respect the person. All right. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. God bless, Daniel. Let's go to Nebraska and talk with Dennis. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You mentioned earlier that the why is it that we can't just leave sports alone and let us enjoy our thing? Well, the media is all about generating hate and, you know, the kind of stuff that causes controversy, because the more controversy there is, the more newspapers they sell, the more radio time they sell, and that sort of thing. So really, it's profitable for them. It's all about the profit. Some about the politics, obviously, too. But they really benefit. They profit from getting us to hate each other.
Well, Dennis, I'm sick of it. I went to University of Missouri. My blood used to run black and gold. When they had their meltdown 3 years ago, I checked out. Mm. I used to go back and play the tuba in marching Mizzou. I played the tuba in the alumni marching band for 20 years. 20 years. I haven't stepped back there since the meltdown. Mm. I was one of the first kids in my family to go to college. I was, you know how proud I am of that? And it was the one thing that I worked on my own. I wasn't the brightest student in class, but I learned how to study. And Dennis, I know, I agree with you, but I'm sick of it. I haven't watched an NFL game yet.
The sad part is that they're playing us. You know, they're manipulating the public, and we're buying it. We're getting all worked up and playing right into their hand. And the more worked up we get, the more money they make. And it really is sickening. It's like, you know, the media used to be the kind of the fourth branch of government that kept people accountable and that sort of thing. They've abandoned that totally for an agenda and for a promotion of hate that just is intended to sell more media.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Dennis, hey, you have a blessed weekend up there in Nebraska, and thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Illinois and talk with Scott. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. Coming in from, another 7 days of work. Got 3 days off, finally.
All right, good. Yeah, happy Labor Day to you, Scott. What's
as
on
well
your mind?
To you, sir. Well, I guess there's a lot on our mind, like most Americans these days. It seems like there needs to be a coming together. I guess I could start with a core. You know, you opened is what you got me to draw in with. It's the opening about respecting the office. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And like yourself, I've been a working man my whole life. Got my first job when I was 11 years old. Paid an income tax ever since. I'm now 56 years old. I went back to college. I've got a degree finally at 50 years of age. Never stopped working.
Good for you.
I like to comment basically on coming together, I guess you could say. There's people arguing about what people deserve and don't deserve in this country because of who they're affiliated with. And I think the bottom line is I can call myself a Republican, but if I can't point out faults within my own party, then I'm not really an American. I'm just a Republican. And likewise, right. If I'm a Democrat and I can't point out faults that I see in my party, then I'm not a critical thinker. I am not an American. I am only a Democrat. And I think the sooner we both see that from both sides of a so-proposed aisle, the better off we'll be. Mm-hmm. I think that we do need to respect the office of presidency. We need to respect the governor's position. But likewise, I don't think we need to take the office, the man in the office, and single out, use the power of that office to single out an individual. That hasn't been done too much in the past that I can recall of. And that's the only comment I have on that. So there's respect that is due by response and circumstance. And in their respect, it's due because of who's actually there.
Scott, thank you so much. Those are excellent, excellent points. Couldn't agree with you more. Let's go to David in Texas, Longhorn State. Hey, David, welcome to Washington Watch on this Friday.
How you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank
just you. I just wanted to say, I wonder if this Max so-and-so from ESPN would be Tell so me. Full of hate and vitriol if Tiger had spent some quality golfing time with former President Clinton after all that he had done and said that, well, we need to respect the office and so on and so forth. Would he have been so hateful to him then?
Yeah.
You know, it's one-sided, brother. It's one-sided. And anything and everything that's precious to us here, whether it's sports or Boy Scouts or whatever, they want to corrupt. They corrupt everything. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to point the difference and all the partiality that goes on and in the media. And well, of course we know right. about ESPN now. So,
well, great point. Thank you, David. You have a great weekend. Let's go to Bernadette in Tennessee. Hey, Bernadette, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I listen so often when I get a chance coming from work. I'm a veteran, and I'm also a black female. I don't use that word African-American because I hate that word, me personally. Okay. So I'm a black female veteran, and I'm a Christian as well. And I totally agree with what Tiger says. We were commanded and demanded by the left to respect the office of Obama, President Obama, when he was calling us all kind of names in his little slick, high college-educated word-using self, and we were supposed to just shut up and take it and be quiet. So now that we have a president who's just telling it like a TIE is, as black people would say, now they have something to say about it. And I don't have a problem with President Trump. I support him and his agenda. I respect the flag. I don't agree with the NFL and what they're doing. I stopped watching football three or four years ago because of it, because I'm a veteran. And that, I used to love football because that was my father and I's quality time growing up. But I no longer watch it. I don't miss it. And I hope many people keep following suit and just totally bankrupt the NFL and those little whiny players that, as a black person, I call whiny because they have no reason and this is not the platform. So they need to go do it. And if they want to do it on the off seasons when they're not working, not during the season when they are.
Hey, Bernadette, those are great points. You mind? I'm going to call you a daughter of the king. You all right if I call you that?
I appreciate it. I appreciate that. I'm King Jesus because I'm definitely a Christian. So I'm just praying for all these people. I don't even get upset about it anymore. I just have to pray for them because this is what the Bible says is going to happen.
Well, bless you. You have a great weekend. Real quick, we got time for another call. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hey, Joe.
Hey, I'd like to thank your previous caller for her service and her points, and then piggyback on what the caller before her said. The sad thing is, there's very little difference today between the establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats, and that's what's created a lot of the turmoil. I mean, conservatives are pro-life, pro-guns. The establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats are pro-choice, and that is where a lot of the turmoil is. But Christian conservatives need to keep making their voices heard. Thanks for all that you do there and giving us a voice.
Amen, Joe. Thank you. Real quick, in South Carolina, Pete, you've got about 30 seconds.
Hey, Wes, great job, great show. And, yeah, kudos to Bernadette. She has God bless her, huh, and your previous callers. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I think the Republican Party, going to the establishment here from your previous caller, I think the Republican Party wants to lose this fall. I think it's their secret plan. They passed another budget funding Planned Parenthood. We did not get our law. We're getting funding Planned Parenthood.
Pete, I got to let you go on that. I'm sorry. Good points. Hear the whistle blow? I hear the shofar calling. The sun's going down. Time for rest. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for humans. The waters don't rise and the Lord tarries. We'll see you on Monday. God bless and happy Labor Day.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.